This is an Emmanuel Church podcast. For more information about Emmanuel Church, please visit emmanuelnashville.com.
Let's open the Bible now to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, and if you're using the Bible in the pew rack there in front of you, it's on page 198. Joshua 24, page 198. And I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the regions beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is God's word. Jesus, as we saw last Sunday, gave us a gracious invitation when he said, "Come to me." And he gave us his joyous command when he said, "Follow me." Last Sunday, we saw that Proverbs 24 is a follow me passage. And like that, Joshua 24 is also a follow me passage. And we want to say to the Lord today, we're all in. So here we have this fifth Sunday in the month. We're making it a special family Sunday. We do this because all over the world today, at this moment, the risen Christ is gathering together the family of God. We are not a political party. We are not a market niche. We are not a debate club. We are family because God made us that way. So we do not believe that the nuclear family of dad and mom and 2.5 kids is ultimate. We believe the family of God is ultimate. The Bible speaks of the Father, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth is named. He is the true and ultimate Father. So our earthly families are the metaphors, and the family of God is the reality that the metaphors point to. God is our true Father, Christ is our true brother, and we here together are true members of his blood-bought family. So gospel people like us think of family not at one level, but at two levels. We think of the eternal family God creates, and we think of the historical families we create. Now, not all of us have an historical family that we're creating, but every single one of us is an adopted member of the true and eternal family God is creating. So a family Sunday at church is more meaningful than we might have thought. Now, our verse, Joshua 24:15, rings with decisive gospel joy for leading a family. It gives us an insight into our historical families. Here's the insight. There is a difference between a family of Christians and a Christian family. There's a difference between a family made up of Christians and a Christian family. So let's think it through briefly with three questions. One, what is a Christian family? Two, why does a Christian family matter? Three, how can we build Christian families? So one, what is a Christian family? As for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. What does that mean? Obviously, the key word is serve. As that word is used in the Old Testament, we see that it means several things. That word serve means to work for, not surprisingly, because Jesus is the best boss in the universe. That word also means to worship, because Jesus is the only true God. That word also means to be loyal to, because Jesus is our ultimate king. So serve, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serve is a humble word. We start serving the Lord when we stop expecting him to endorse our agendas. Serve is a decisive word, because nobody drifts into serving the Lord. Earlier in this verse, Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve. So we aren't born this way. We have to choose. It's a decisive word, therefore. It's an excluding word. If we're going to serve Jesus, we stop serving the alternatives and rivals to Jesus. And in the next verse, the people respond, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Dylan was right. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Now listen, some of us might need to go serve the devil. Some of us might need to get off the fence and quit pretending and go serve the devil for a while and get your belly full and find out the misery that awaits you when you serve anything or anybody but Jesus. And when you come back beaten up and fed up, we will not say, I told you so. We will say, man, do we get it. Come serve the Lord with us. The other gods lie to us. They coddle us. They don't demand a thing. They just give us endless options. And then they betray us and leave us wasted. Jesus says, come take up your cross. And he actually makes it work. All of us have served the devil. And so many of us know what a relief it is to turn from that foolishness and say, oh, Jesus, I'm so done with that. I want you now. As for me and my house, we will work for the Lord. We will worship the Lord. We will be loyal to the Lord and to him alone. So here's the difference between a Christian family and a family made up of Christians. In a family made up of Christians, the dad is a Christian, the mom's a Christian, the kids are Christians, but as a family, they're just hard to read. They're nice people, but in their home, there's no prayer except for saying grace at a meal. There's no praise to Christ, no enjoyment of Christ, no conversation about Christ, no mission for Christ. They have not made the cause of Jesus their own cause because that family hasn't defined any cause for themselves. They're just drifting. They love Jesus, but they're drifting. They haven't settled on anything. Their vibe is whatever. So they are dominated. They're dominated by their smartphones, sports practices, an endless flow of preoccupations, grievances, and sheer boredom. Boredom is a huge power in life, especially in the modern world. So what they serve is this, I don't know, sort of vague blob of an idol called whatever. And that idol doesn't feel adversarial toward Jesus or toward them because it doesn't feel like much of anything. Whatever goes with the flow, but it neutralizes any family as a force for Jesus. If you haven't led your family to decide for Jesus as a lifestyle, why do you think you have a Christian family? I wonder if even half the families in this church are Christian families. By contrast, a Christian family led by the head of the house, whether it's the dad, single mom, whoever, takes a stand. As a family, we are so serving the Lord. Man alive, we've served other gods. We know that bitter aftertaste in our mouths. No more of that. Now we want Jesus, no matter what anybody else is going to choose, neighbors, including Christian neighbors. We're serving the Lord. That's a Christian family. They aren't perfect, but they know what they want and they go get it. Because Jesus gives it freely to people who aren't perfect, but they just want him. And he's all in. For example, I say this with his permission, his kind permission, the Rovenstein family. I look at them and I go, huh. Because I see them taking the offering in church as a family. I see them greeting people at the doors as a family. Last year when we plowed through the Bible, remember we read through the whole Bible? You know what these rascals did? They read the Bible together out loud as a family. It has never occurred to me to do that, much less accomplish it. I've never wondered, what do the Rovensteins really care about? Really? That question has never entered my mind. That's a Christian family. Now, obviously, there's no one-size-fits-all way for a family to serve the Lord, but has your family, led by you, made this commitment? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, why not today? Because it says earlier in the verse, choose this day whom you will serve. You see, you don't have to be decisive. You don't have to be, you know, perfect, but you do have to be decisive. Jesus will receive your commitment, imperfect as it is, and he will seal it with his blessing. He will give to you his power. He will support you in your follow-through. He's so kind to us. He doesn't treat us like machines. He calls us to stand up with dignity, encouraged by his death, his resurrection, his soon return. And we choose him for ourselves, and we claim our families for his glory in the next generation. That's a Christian family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All right, second question. Why does a Christian family matter? What's at stake here? What's on the line? A Christian family matters because we're positioning our kids for the future. The next book in the Bible, Judges, says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. A Christian family outlives its own generation with impact in the future. A Christian family shapes the unseen future. And they're going to need it the way things are going. So here's just one story of how a Christian family matters because it makes a difference over time. This is Julius and Anna Ortlund, my great-grandparents. I don't know much about them, but my dad told me this. He was a hipster 150 years in advance. He looks like Sean Harris. My dad told me this. Our people were living in Sweden. They were members, of course, of the state church, Lutheran Church. The state church was no longer vital. It was no longer alive. And somehow, I don't know, I just had these broad strokes, brushstrokes. Somehow, my family got involved in a renewal movement within the state church. They came alive to Jesus. They wanted nothing more than to serve him. They were rejoicing in him. And then they were opposed within their state church. They were not encouraged and served. They were resisted. So what did they do? They picked up and moved to America. Man, what if today the government pressured us to throttle back on Jesus? Would we move to Argentina? Because we want to live for him? Without impediment? Sometimes, guys, I wonder, do I love Jesus at all? That's a Christian family. Long ago, my family planted their flag for Jesus with courage and sacrifice. They moved from Sweden to Des Moines, Iowa. I mean no disrespect, but where would you rather live? They did it for the Lord's sake. Basically, all I know about them is their names and what they did. And they said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All right, so next generation. Ben and Minnie Ortlund. Minnie is short for Wilhelmina. Very Scandinavian. So here they are with their kids. And my dad is the second from the left. 10, 12 years old. When my dad was about that age, they were there in church in Des Moines one Sunday morning. And the Holy Spirit moved in my dad's heart. And he accepted Christ in church that day. And he went forward and he knelt at the front of the church. And as he was kneeling there in prayer, he realized his mom had, my grandmother had come forward and was kneeling beside him in prayer to support him. That's a Christian family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The next generation, Ray and Ann Ortlund, my parents. I remember, here's just one snapshot of so many I could give. I remember one evening, Dad and Mom invited a neighbor household over for dinner and to watch a Billy Graham movie. Back in the day, the Billy Graham organization used to make movies about how Jesus saved people. And so we invited them, come have dinner, we're going to watch this movie. Come. And I remember how comfortable our neighbors were because the neighbor father invited me to sit in his lap. And it wasn't weird. It totally worked. My dad and mom, through their home, made Jesus not ignorable in our neighborhood. That's a Christian family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, the next generation. We have many weaknesses and shortcomings. Obviously, you know that. You're so kind. But here's one snapshot. Yesterday, this week, we had grandchildren in the house. Boy, that was interesting. But Jenny taught them a Bible verse. Jenny used to teach second grade. She knows the drill. It totally works. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So at dinner last night, we're having, who'd like to say the verse? Oh, I would. Isaiah 41:10, word perfect. 1, 2, 3, and they got stickers when they said it, word perfect. And is there anything more motivated than stickers? Colorful, sparkly, rainbowy stickers. But now, a week ago, they didn't have Isaiah 41:10 in their hearts, dwelling deep within. Now they do, and they're going to need it. And for the rest of their lives, Isaiah 41:10 is going to be there for them. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe you're thinking, but, oh man, that's cool, Ray, but I don't have, you know, a background like that. I don't have a history of Joshua 24:15 people. My family was never like that. But here's what God wants to say to you today. A whole new tradition starts with you. You are the Julius and Anna of the future. Because Ben and Minnie are coming. Ray and Ann are coming. Ray and Janny are coming. They're coming in history. And God has raised you up to take that stand for Christ. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then you're going to pass that. You're the beginning of a new tradition. You're not defined by your past. You're defined by God's grace. And God loves new beginnings. You're not responsible to change the past. God is making you strategic for the future. That's why he brought you here. You matter. You're going to matter for a long time. And 150 years from now, maybe they will only remember your name and nothing else except, wasn't that Julius and Anna and they serve the Lord. What else matters? Let everything else be forgotten. Let that never be forgotten. That matters. Three, how can we build Christian families? Well, the wonderful thing is, in God's mercy and grace, we already have the ultimate Christian family right here as our example. If you want to know what it looks like to be a Christian mom, here is Barbara Parrish. Isn't that true? If you want to know what it's like, what it looks like to be a Christian dad, here's Tony Maples. I saw Tony a few minutes ago. Tony, where did you go? There he is, right there. And if you want to know what it looks like to be a Christian brother and sister, here are TJ and Jessica. Our historic families are the metaphors. God's true and eternal family is the reality. God's given you the reality to look at. If you hang out here, God is, what a wonderful advantage God is giving you. You're sitting in the midst of the beauty, family beauty, only God can create. Isn't it great to be part of a church where Jesus dwells? Man, what a privilege. What a heads up. We've got to help. One of the things I love about Emmanuel is you can learn family beauty by just being here. Something that rings with the joy of Joshua 24:15. You got a whole new future. It's already paid for by the blood of Christ. It's coming down in power through his resurrection. Just go get it. God wants to give it to you. There's another resource as well. Our children's ministry, Taylor Cheek is here. She leads our children's ministry so wonderfully. Taylor, let me just ask you. The children's ministry is a particular focal point. It's the biggest ministry inside this church. How does this children's ministry help families to grow as Christian families?
Thank you. Well, first I would just want to say that we understand Christian parenting is a big responsibility. And it can be hard to know how to do the right thing. And there's so many resources out there, it can be really overwhelming. But trusting in Jesus with your weakness is actually a good place to be.
Yeah.
So just hold on to that. But as your church, we are here to support you and encourage you. Our mission in Emmanuel Kids is to make the real Jesus non-ignorable to the next generation by prioritizing Jesus, community, and mission. So our heartfelt goal is to teach every child the whole Bible with Jesus and his salvation at the center. So simply bringing your family to church and reading your Bible together are two foundational ways to be a Christian family. And we do also provide resources for parents to continue your child's Bible learning at home via the app or email. So we're trying to help you out in that way as well. But while parents are the primary spiritual influence in a child's life, we're so grateful that the Lord has given us this church as our gospel family. So singles, young adults, empty nesters, you can all be on mission to build Christian families by serving as the spiritual aunts and uncles and grandparents to the children here at Emmanuel. We do have over 100 kids in our classes every week. So there's that amazing opportunity. Our parents are bringing their children here and asking you to invest in their lives, to teach them about Jesus. So that's an incredible opportunity and a privilege that we have to come alongside our parents and serve one another. So if you'd like to know more about how you can get involved in making the real Jesus not ignorable to the next generation, just come see me at the Connect Desk after service or check it out on the app.
Fantastic.
So,
thank you, Taylor. We're very grateful for you. So guys, let me just close out by saying this. Here in this eternal family, let's serve the Lord. And you and your historical family, the family that God through you is creating, why don't you today at lunch have a conversation, start a conversation with prayer? So guys, there's that verse in Joshua chapter 24. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What do you think? How could we do that? And there's no wrong answer. Just pull those ideas out of the family and pray together and ask the Lord to guide you. Then come back to it tomorrow night at dinner and say, are we ready to make some commitments and make some decisions here? And if not, that's okay. Come back Tuesday night. But God will guide you and you will funnel down to clarity as to how you're going to serve the Lord. Now, one final thought. Many of us are sitting here right now already giving up because there's an accusing, demoralizing thought in our heads that says, I'm a loser. I've always been a loser. Just accept it and give in. Is that thought of the Holy Spirit? Did Jesus die and rise again to send that thought into your heart? I have those thoughts. And when I bellyache to Janie about what a loser I am and what a disaster my life is, she asks me, so, that ridiculous thought, Ray, is that of the Holy Spirit? It's so helpful, so clarifying. Babe, thank you. That is not of God. Cast that thought down. And announce to yourself all that Jesus is for you. He doesn't believe you're a loser. Put yourself in his hands, and he'll start telling a new story through you. He's been doing it since the fall of Adam. He's an expert. He'll help you. Let's pray. So, Lord, seal this message to our hearts in the power of God, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.